This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Alrighty, so that ends the gaming segment. We looked at a lot of stuff. There's a lot of interesting things coming out, which is nice because there was definitely a lull for a little bit, you know, during COVID and everything, where like, not a lot of stuff was coming out.
We only had like the expected ones.
Yeah, so it's a lot to be excited for. So we have our special friend here, our buddy Kay.
Special friend.
And special
friend.
And I thought it'd be cool to get to, you know, for the audience to get to know him a little bit better because he is going to be a part of our D&D campaign.
Yeah, yeah.
So
Which is coming
very soon. Very excited.
I know, we keep like, it's coming soon. And then
But it's like legit coming soon. Yeah. We have like one thing that we're working on right now that we're trying to like make sure we finish. And then right after that, we're getting in the game.
The anticipation's killing me.
I fear for my life. It's like, you guys, like, I get questions from some of the D&D participants.
Yeah, we have a chat called The Dungeon where we all talk.
And they're like, is this allowed? I'm like,
What are you planning?
I mean, it'd be okay if no one knew, but at least one person knows. And I'm like, what if he knows? What if he knows I fuck up?
No one's gonna know. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, and I there's so much homebrew. You can't.
There's no possible way we could fuck it up.
That's not in a book. Of course it's not. I made it up.
I am the book.
Anyway, so yeah.
Yeah. So I have a couple things I'd like to talk about. So first things first, we all know that we're a bunch of opies here. And
what?
Opie? Do you know that word?
Yes, I know. A bunch of boob lovers, man. Okay. Boob lovers.
Bunch of boobers?
Yeah, a bunch of boobers. And, boobs and anime go hand in hand.
Yeah, yes. As you could tell by my non-existent titties. Because it's just a fucking rib cage.
Well, I have my character as titties. Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
We're out here. Anyway. this is a weird segue. Anyway.
Strange tangent.
Welcome to the Imposter Syndrome podcast.
Yeah, exactly. So I was curious if you would like to relay to the peoples what your favorite anime is.
Favorite anime of all time currently?
I mean,
just as like a casual.
What have you been watching?
Watching? Well, what I've been watching recently is Ranking of Kings. That's like one of my new favorites. That anime is awesome.
What's it about? Talk to us about it. Excuse me.
Spot a little dude. He's mute.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
It's the little boy.
He's not very combative. He has like no combat prowess, but he's like super fast and agile.
It's on the list.
Yeah, it's awesome. it starts off very kind of childish and like has a very playful tone, but then as the series progresses, it gets a little more serious. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people don't give it a chance early on.
Well, the art style is a little goofy.
Yeah, they think it's like, oh, this is a child show. But like my brother said that. He was like, oh, I watched episode one, then I gave up.
I mean, listen, I think High Guardian Spice has got everyone a little bit afraid of childlike show showing up on Crunchyroll.
Oh, yeah. No.
I don't even know about that.
Oh, you don't know about that?
Do you know about that?
Where's the I'm going to exit?
So, I need to pull this up.
Oh, no. What'd I do? Oh, I should have just been like, oh, yeah, right. Box. Yeah.
High Guardian Spice is a Crunchyroll original show.
I gathered. Okay.
All right. So the thing is that on a anime streaming platform, what would you expect a original show to look like?
I don't know, decent quality, I'd imagine.
So
Okay.
So this is High Guardian Spice. And already something is a little bit alarming.
It just seems like it's a little, I don't know. There's something about the smiles that make it seem like it's not what it seems.
Like it should be on Cartoon Network and not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Like this is like super derpy or something.
Yeah. So it's bad.
Is it like cringe or is just, ew. Is that a real R right there?
Which one?
This
one?
No, the one you were just on.
This one?
Like that's the art style? That's how it looks.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't like that.
I mean, this is the appropriate image. That is the correct. Yeah, image.
That's how we all are. Right?
Is that actually how it looks?
This is the show. This is what it looks like.
Oh no!
Are you expecting more?
Yeah, because they have like Tower of God and like God of High School on there.
But this is not even the worst of it. This is a nice shot.
Okay.
Right there are big problems.
Look at look up like bad shots or something, or like bad art.
Is
bad
this
art.
Safe to pull up?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Bad animation.
Oh yeah, we could do that. I think some things should. I love this picture so much.
It just keeps coming back.
Yeah. I was trying to see.
Maybe look up like a video or something.
Yeah.
It might be like a bad art compilation or something like that.
Don't anime like literally.
I'm gonna mute. Okay, it's mute. Good. Let's see if we can.
I do not. Ew. What?
Sorry, she picked it off.
Yeah.
It was like a split second.
Oh, see, yeah. There's a. This is a good example. So, there's just straight up PNGs.
No, there's not.
Yes. They're straight up PNGs in the show.
No.
Yes.
How else are you supposed to save time, Jake?
No.
Yeah.
You trace it at least. Like, have some dignity. No.
Yeah.
Show me
Dude,
more.
Dude didn't even try.
Show me more. Oh, my God. No.
It's funny because you could even sometimes see the feathering around some of these images.
Oh, God. Dude.
Yeah.
My God.
Oh, yeah.
My God.
Oh, yeah. And then if things just move by accident.
Keep going.
You know.
What?
Yeah. Did you see that?
Ooh. Was that just a ring?
Yeah, that was. Oh, my God. This makes One Punch Man Season 2 look like a godsend.
Yeah, I know, right? It's,
What? It's, what? Is that real? No. She's not... Yo! Where's the light source?
Or it'd be like...
No. Why do they keep going to the pancakes? It's freaking me out.
Because they have a real picture of pancakes next to a drawn picture of pancakes.
Oh my
God. Look at the bread.
Dude, it's just like some of it's shaded and some of it's like, this is fine. Everything's fine.
It's so.
Keep going.
Keep going. You may not like it, but really, this is peak.
I mean, the YouTube channel.
What am I looking at there?
Crown Prince is probably explaining, but like.
No, I know. I'm sure there's dialogue, but.
Where was that cat?
Wait, show his channel. If you want to see this video, look up Crown. What is it? Crown Prince.
Crown Prince.
And look up this video. Check them out. We'll subscribe. All that stuff. Yeah, we'll link it up. Shoutouts.
Yeah, because he's probably
explaining this and like you know roasting it
in
a funny. No, I didn't.
What?
Run it back.
She's clipping through the clip.
Yo!
She literally no-clipped for the table.
Oh my god, is this on purpose?
No!
It has to be on purpose.
No!
This isn't on purpose, bro.
This is not, got proportion problems. Shit.
Why are they so big?
It's proportion problem. It's like...
Is this, this looks like one of those webtoons that you see that like, you know, like, that like someone did, or like has like 5 views or something. I don't know.
Nothing is consistent.
Yeah, like... It's one of those, like, I'm just going to make one because I want to.
It's so...
Oh, God, that's not...
Yeah, it's...
They spent their budget all in that one motion.
Another real picture.
They all... Oh, they just look, there's no consistency. Not... There's no consistency. No.
Oh my god!
Whoa! Why? No!
More no clip action.
Oh man. Dude. Someone didn't label the layers correctly.
What?
Wait, bruh.
She didn't sit on the desk correctly.
Who drew this?
So that's also the thing that's weird. So this is a weird, this is like a kind of a Steven Universe-esque, like, show.
For mature audiences?
Yeah, where it's, like, they're all drunk cutesily, they're all named after spices, and it's, like, I'm gonna be a guardian, and we're gonna learn magic. Yeah. And then some scenes, it'll be, like, mercilessly gutting a dragon, and it bleeds out into a lake, and you're, like, hello? There's a scene where there are adult guardians are implied to be in like an orgy party.
Oh my god.
There's constant swearing and shit, and you're like, what is this show? Like, what is this?
I can't see any. No, keep showing me. I can't. I'm so confused.
The morbid curiosity is taking him over. Seriously.
I'm sorry, Kay. We were going to learn about. Oh, yeah. like, look at this. Like, like, this is supposed to be the kids' show.
Okay, I've seen enough.
I wanted to at least see if we could find the people who were behind it. Because then it answers everything. Maybe I could just find an image. Oh, cracking your knuckles. Okay. Creators. Let's check that out. Let's just see what shows up.
Oh, okay.
It's funny because this one told people she should kill all men.
Wait, what? Marvel and High Marvel, of course, and High Guardian Spice writer refuses to apologize for kill all men. Social media. All right, so it stems back to like this woke agenda type, yeah. Self insert.
Hey, this is a persona meme, yeah, right there.
It's her shadow.
Yeah, Jesus. Like Jesus.
But it's funny because you look at the room of writers, and they're supposed to be so diverse and stuff. It's all white women with glasses and colored hair.
Yeah, they. It's like they cloned everyone in the room.
The worst side of Tumblr has come.
Corporate wants you to tell the difference between these two pictures.
They're the same picture. That's hard, guys.
All right. And no disrespect to these women.
But kind of disrespect.
But they can't write for shit.
You made it really shit.
I'm sure.
It's great for the meme.
Yeah.
It's great for the meme.
Yeah.
Makes all right, content. So
I'm happy that led to this.
I was gonna say, how do we get here?
All right, favorite anime of all time.
Oh yeah, of all time. Let's see, probably Shaman King, simply because of the nostalgia. Mm.
Okay,
it was the first anime to get me inspired to draw. So I think that's probably why.
And that's a good segue to my next question: is what does art mean to you?
Sorry, let me pull up my dictionary.
But like, you know what I mean? Wow. We have a wisecracker in here.
You need a dictionary when you need to look inside your soul.
I'm sorry.
Just kidding.
I don't know. For me, art is just the expression, I guess. It's another medium that you can kind of just allow your emotions and things be transferred into. Mm. Just like a container for expression, essentially.
And how do you approach your art? Like, what's your thought process when you're creating?
Depends. Like, when I just want to create a piece, or
let's say, like, yeah, when you're trying to create something for,
well, he first opens Clip Studio Paint. Same person.
No, he uses Procreate.
Yeah, I'm a Procreate boy. I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. That's actually, he doesn't like Clip Studio Paint. Michael, get him.
We're going off on a tangent again.
All right, hold on. Before we get there, you can play it. All right. Let's stick with this. When you're in Procreate or when you're hand traditionally drawing, and let's say you're working on your story.
Yeah.
Right? Let's say you're drawing soul. Like, what's your thought process on that?
I don't know. I guess I always approach it with, like, I always think about my characters very deeply, even before I draw them, because poses themselves kind of hold inherent, like,
characteristics.
Yeah, characteristics. Like there's certain poses that give off certain vibes, essentially. So, like, usually I try to plan out whatever it is I'm drawing beforehand, because I want to have a good understanding, an idea of what it is before I try to express what it is to my audience, essentially, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you do thumbnailing and stuff?
I do, like, stick figure stuff, like the little, it depends, honestly.
How much care you want to put into it?
Yeah, it depends. Like, if it's for my story, then yeah, I'll probably go the extra mile and try to do something like that. But if I'm just sketching, I probably won't go that deep.
Do you have a story?
I do have a story that I'm working on currently.
Okay, is it like a, it's not public?
No, not public. Okay. Yet. Yeah, so we'll keep that under wraps.
Coming soon.
That's a lot of problems we have. It's like, I've been working on this comic for years, and it's like, can we see it? No.
Of course not.
It's on the right. It's still a work in progress. Like,
I mean, I would love to share it with people, but I want it, you know.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Like,
and be set in stone.
Fleshed out, like, yeah. You know, like, at least to some extent, like, and have, like, a really strong basis for, and a foundation.
Yeah, I don't want to be that author, that artist that has a shit ton of plot holes in it.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. But, I mean, I've kind of also been feeling lately, it's like, if you keep on expecting perfection when you launch, you're never gonna launch.
Oh yeah, I agree with you.
That's kind of the reason, like, I'm doing this webtoon contest, like the call to action stuff.
Right.
Like, you know, it's just kind of like, no matter what, like, I know my art is not like master level yet, but it's decent. And I think it's pretty good, and I'm just going for it. I've been working on this for a long time, so I feel like it'd be a, it's just something, why not, right? The worst they can say is no.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think feedback, whether it's negative or positive, is a good thing anyway. So,
it's true.
Even if you release it and people fucking, they hate it, I mean, at least you know that people don't like what you're writing, and you know somewhere to pick up from. And
yeah, like, all right, what do I need to do, like, to change if I want to, or do I scrap, or, you know, it's just like, yeah, there's...
That's almost more valuable than the positive feedback, because that really defines you as a creator.
You can't harp on it too much, though. I mean, there's always gonna be people that, like, don't like your shit, but.
But still,
I think it's a healthy balance, right?
Right.
You take it with a grain of salt, obviously, but.
So now, explain yourself.
Oh, the Procreate thing.
Well, I mean, anyone can have their own art program. I'm just curious of your dislike of Clip Studio.
Yeah, I have no explanation, really. I just started on Procreate. It's the easiest one to get into.
Does it just look complicated? Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's usually my go-to excuse.
It's really not, though. It's not as intimidating as you think it is. It's really not. Like, when I first opened it, I'm like,
well, yeah, my emotions. Yeah. I look at it and I'm like,
yeah,
what
but
is
it's
this?
But, like, just like even Procreate, I find Procreate more drawing, honestly. Like, the UI build, the UI for that.
I have
really...
been running into, like, some limiting issues with Procreate anyway, so.
Well, it's like you have a fucking layer limit.
Yeah.
Really?
Dude, there's a 27 layer limit.
27?
Like, what can you get done in 27
layers? So I'm like merging layers.
Oh,
and like,
that's disgusting.
Yeah, yeah, it's really bad, man.
No.
After I found that out, then I was like, maybe I should go to Clip Studio, but
because there's so much, there's so many tools in Clip Studio, and
like
why
AI coloring, like,
yeah,
different,
like
time lapse,
like the Ronnie drawing I did, like the Elden Ring one, like I was able to
3D models
import a 3D model to line her up for the position, and it's like,
I think Mark Brunet had it. Is that, he has like a similar program that he was showing in a YouTube video.
Oh, you're the one I was talking about?
Yeah.
Like that's like for program? Lighting, though. Oh, okay. That's for lighting. Like, you can legit import, like, there's 3D models, and like, correct me if I'm wrong, but you can like adjust them.
You can adjust them. You can choose poses for them. You can choose a lighting for them. Awesome. And they can be as simple as like just a blank model with lines for measurements, or you can have like an actual anime character.
Model. Is that an in program too, or is that like something?
That's in program.
Oh,
there's perspective rulers. There's web. There's like legit comic templates and like stock, templates and different materials. And their store, you can find stuff for free and automatically download it. Just drag it in.
And plus, if you have Photoshop brushes that you really like,
ABRs.
If you have.
Well, that's true to Procreate too, I believe. That they accept.
If you have Affinity Design brushes, you could also import those too.
Yeah, it's pretty much like, dude, Liquify is on there now. Time Lapse is a really cool tool I've used.
You can animate with this stuff.
You can animate
too. You can animate. Yeah. 100% animate.
All right. I might have to consider.
It's $4 a month.
One of us.
It's $4 a month, bro. I understand Clips. Procreate is $10 and it's like, or $20 and it's perpetual or whatever.
Yeah, it's like a one.
But 27, dude, none of my paintings, there's not one thing that I think I've drawn, even in a comic, that doesn't have like at least like 40 like layers in it, you know,
honestly, yeah, that's probably the thing that's
like, my paintings have like hundreds.
Yeah, I know. Whenever I see yours, it's 300
it's
minimum.
It's like 300 minimum, you know? It's just like, I can't even imagine
lines on the same layer.
It's
like,
yeah, you can challenge yourself and draw stuff on, like, you know, you see those YouTube like one layer challenges or whatever, you know. But these are like, you know.
Or you tried drawing something in 45 seconds and.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you can do, yeah, there's like stuff like that. But if you're trying to get like down to the grit, you know, that's like, you can't, and render, like, you can't render without layers, like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was finding it hard. Like,
why 27 though? That's such an arbitrary number.
Yeah, right. Like 50 at the least. Like,
what did 27 has to have? Some,
like, if you go
meaning?
28, the whole system just crashes. Like, what happens?
I know, right? Like, I saw you merging. I'm like, you poor child. Like, what if you wanted? What if you wanted to do something on like that layer? You know,
what if you've done goofed?
You're like, these layers are kind of useless.
That,
I can kind of merge these
my
together.
Last piece. I had merged two layers. Like, I had two background layers, like it was like one color and then the background itself, and then I had to merge them, and then I wanted to go back and change that color that was underneath, and I couldn't because they were merged at that point. So I'm like trying to mess with the color balance, trying to,
do you draw on like an iPad, or is it like,
I draw on iPad, yeah.
Okay, because I'm like, even if you can, if you got like one of the tablets or something, if you buy the laptop version, it's just a one-time payment and that's it. Of like, depending on what you get, it's like either $50, or if you want to get like the animation stuff and all that.
Yeah, like the
you can still animate with 50, but it's like GIFs. That's what I have on my laptop.
Oh, okay.
But if you want a full animation.
Yeah. I have full animation on here, and it's a subscription based thing.
Okay, so the app is.
Also, you're wrong. The licenses do not translate.
Yeah, I knew that.
Oh, okay.
We talked about that before. Yeah,
they don't translate. But yeah, I have two licenses. I have one for my perpetual license that I'm done. I don't have to pay for that anymore. And I pay for it's cheaper.
I was going to say, that's kind of weird that they don't let you.
Well, it's because it's different software. It operates a little differently. It's like the same UI, but it does operate a little different. And I think, you can use your phone as well as like the mixer. And you can like view your images on your phone, and that's free. You don't have to actually pay like for two licenses, particularly on your phone versus your tablet, for example. Like if I have my color mixer in here because it's just like, it works for me. But if I wanted to add, like, put this on my phone, like, we can sync up. It's like right there. where it says like use the QR code to sync up on the app.
Like that's if you wanted to keep everything clean.
Yeah, and like I can remove this and add that there. I can like scroll and like do different things on my phone that will affect here, which is like a cool tool if you want to keep it. I think my UI on here is pretty nice. Like I'm comfortable. I have my brushes.
Does that work for desktop version too?
I believe so. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Ooh, I think don't quote me on that.
I gotta check that
don't
out.
Don't quote me on that. But
you're gonna get him too excited.
But I think so. I'm pretty sure like the color mixing on the phone thing is just a standard tool for like all uses now.
That's cool.
And Clip updates consistently, and every time they update, it's a banger, bro. They're always adding something new that makes them better than everybody else. You know,
yeah,
honestly,
right.
Like
when they announced the Photoshop brushes, I'm like, it's done.
It's done, it's dude. Done. That's the one thing Photoshop had on us, and Liquify,
yeah,
which we also have now, and Time Lapse, which we also have now. Like. It's so nice. Like all your brushes are like all in the sub tools. You can add sub tools.
Even if this is a subscription, it is not the ridiculous subscription that
I don't even notice it. It comes out. I'm like, I don't even care. It doesn't like
well, yeah, $4 is like
it's nothing. Like $4, dude. Like it doesn't
compared
affect
to like the 50 disgust like
yeah,
box
like
or whatever.
Yeah,
50 on it.
Yeah, you know, or 300 for or whatever it is. $250
the creative
now
suite or whatever
for like the yeah for like the full version or even like subscript like $20 you know plus subscription
a
for
month.
Adobe a month. You know what I mean?
It's a month
for Adobe for Photoshop or something.
It's really snake oil. Like it's bad. It's. Adobe needs to like
yeah dude.
I mean they're getting Adobe's getting their wake up call now.
And Clip really cares about its community because it's small. Yeah. It like they don't have like they're into like I follow them and like they give instructional videos all the time.
They retweet like, people's artwork too.
Yeah, they retweet, they really like support their community who uses them. Like they'll be like, here's a video of how you can add bold lines to your line art or like to your actions. Yeah. Like they focus on that stuff. Like, you know, they'll be like bam, like on a manga panel.
Yeah,
like, and you can have like dark borders that surround. Like they have tools to create the off rip, and they teach you tutorials on like how to do certain,
and that's just videos like,
and, like how to do
too.
Yeah, right. Tons of different like quality content on how to use all their programs and all their programming, like all the time. They offer like for the 10th, like what was it, the 10th anniversary, they offered like a ton of Clippy, which is like their marketplace value, like login bonuses. Like every time you logged in, they gave you like 20, 30 Clippy or something, which is like really nice. All up to like 5,000 at the end of it, as many people retweeted it or whatever. Yeah. Like they care about their community.
Sponsor is Clip Studio.
Oh yeah, my God. I wish. I
nowadays,
wish I would.
Now we can maybe be like, hey, Acast,
yeah, get us this, get us this hookup, bro. Please, I would literally nut.
Clip Studio, please.
We rep Clip so hard on this podcast.
Clip Studio, Crunchyroll, any of those, I'd be like, yes, please.
And it's just so easy. Like we did that art segment a month or two ago.
Yeah.
And we used Clip Studio on my iPad. I just screen recorded it and it easily posted on there, perfect quality. We could do time lapses on here and it records the whole session. It rarely lags. It only crashes. And like, and I say crash loosely because it very rarely does it on pad. On my computer, never, but on pad, like when I have like 400 layers on my iPad, it starts to struggle. But even then, it just starts to struggle. It's still usable. Like it's amazing. It's a great program.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like Adobe is starting to get the wake up call because all of their big hitter programs are now getting viable competitors. Like you have for the art side, you have Clip Studio, you have Procreate, you have Paint SAI, like you have other art programs that are now doing what Photoshop could have done. Like you have Infinity Designer, Infinity Photo, like for the Photoshop actual things. Premiere is getting beaten out by DaVinci Resolve.
Yeah, it's just like it's just like this program is so nice. Like I'm doing this story right now and it has this whole side channel where I can see the one, like the whole thing is succession in full succession. Like
yeah, that's something I like.
That's really nice. Like they cater, dude, like I have dividers for like if I wanted to make a frame border right now I could. Like literally just do this and it's a freaking thing, and then I can go to the cut frame and cut it into two frames if I wanted to. Like immediately. Like you can make a manga on here so easily and make it dynamic or whatever the case may be. You can add different subtools. They have like downloadable manga, like text boxes and action like effects and like all these different things like that you can use. And the UI is customizable. If you don't like the way I have it, you can make it so simple for yourself. It's just your like one brush section, your color palette, and this, if you wanted it to be. You know, like
mine
it
would be super minimalistic.
Yeah, like you can remove the navigator, you can remove all this, like, and if you want, like, literally, dude, all you gotta do is this, honestly.
And yeah, there's like a little hiding.
You just put it away.
Just tuck it all away.
Just put it away. If you don't want it. You know what I mean? Just put it away.
Now, the fact that you can see all the pages, though, that is something. I mean, aside from the layer limit, that is like pushing me to get Clip Studio, because on Procreate, I would have to create just several different images. And like, what if I wanted to go back and look at a specific panel? And it's just.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Yeah, I won't lie. The workflow on Procreate is very kind of clunky.
It's dookie, bro.
Yeah, it's clunky.
It's dookie as hell. Hey, hey,
hey. Hola, hola. I still use this program.
And that's cool too. I just realized you also have like a blending page if you want to blend colors together.
That's the color mixing one. That's new.
You can custom everything.
It's dope, bro. Look at this shit. Just fucking put some put some that color, put some blue in there, then and you just mix it like an actual like an actual painting
thing. Yeah.
It's really awesome. Like, and then you can also teardrop that shit.
Yeah.
If you wanted to, which is fucking incredible. Like, It's really nice. I like this program a lot. And it was drawing at first. I'm not going to lie. Anyone who's scared, it is a little drawing at first. But just look up like a 20-minute video on how to use Clip Studio, the basics. And that's literally all you need.
It's just finding everything.
And you'll just find things when you need it. Yeah. Like, you know, when you want to do something, that's when you take it in parts. Like, just learn the basics so you can draw on it, you know, and color.
Yeah.
And then when you want to learn how to do something new, you know, you look it up and you just grow with the program as you learn it or whatever. Yeah. But moving back on to you, man. Sorry, we went on these like huge tangents and
so many
everything.
Tangents. Crazy.
That's what we're about.
I will say though, before we depart, like if we do another art podcast, we should definitely have you back.
Oh yeah, we'd love to have you back, dude. We as you can see on the screen, Kevin's art is amazing. He designed his own avatar.
Thank you.
It's like, you know, JoJo-esque, has his own little flair, has this like kind of.
It's really making me look bad. It's really.
All right, guys, you're pushing it.
No, bro, he's fire. Check out his page. All of it. It'll be links in the description. Yeah. He's going to be dropping a story in like a year or something. Yeah. Who knows?
And he's going to have the best ring character in a D&D.
And he's going to fucking use Clip Studio. Hell yeah. That's our boy. And now going back to it.
Pressure.
Another thing besides, you know, us gentlemen here, you know, classy gentlemen here, you know, we like the art. Yes, indeed. And salutations. How do you do?
Continue.
I'm the only one wearing a suit.
I have my pecs out. You can't get any more classy than that. And, we all like the arts here, and arts is plural. You know, there's multiple. And, you know, you're a fan of music, right?
Yes, sir.
And I was just curious what your favorite genre of music is and why. And if you have a favorite musician.
That's a good question. It's a toss-up, honestly. It's between, like, two ends of the spectrum. It's either Midwest emo music or metal, honestly. Yeah. Like... I really dig Mom Jeans on the Midwest emo side. Max Seal from New York is really good. I saw them.
Microwave.
So, Microwave is awesome. I saw them too. And then metal, I mean, that has like a really close place in my heart because I've been listening to that probably the longest out of any genre.
Now, where are you on the metal scale? Are you like...
He's listening to Cannibal Corpse like that long ago.
Literally up and down it probably. Mm. I mean, I primarily like metalcore and like older bands like Trivium, Avenged Sevenfold, like
Metallica.
Yeah, Metallica's cool too. I love them, but I mean, I like all this stuff. If they're yelling, I like it, to be honest. Okay.
Have you listened to the Doom soundtrack?
The Doom soundtrack is hard. Yeah. You ever want to work out and like go sick?
BFG Division.
Now, I feel like if I put the Doom soundtrack on, I could achieve anything in life.
Yeah, right.
Kill all the demons.
Yeah, he's shown me. It's pretty gnarly, man.
Are you familiar with some of the tracks?
Not like by name or anything. No.
Like there's I was showing him the Doom Eternal soundtrack, and there's a track where you enter the Doom Hunter base, and it's just like the and it has such a low bass.
It's so it's
and
nice.
We're just like, oh,
it just makes you like crunch up, and you're just
I'm just like, yo, man, what is that?
Nah, dude, you're ready to fight some demons.
What is that?
Yeah, like,
no, just like, it's the engineer in me too. Like, I think in both of us, like, we're just like, yo, what is that sound?
Make
like, that
Gordon, is true. Tell me what is you doing?
Yeah, like, how do we make it? Like, that's all I want to know.
Yeah,
but I like it, and I know you have an affinity for guitar.
Yeah,
I know. Like, you know, you're in the process of learning. Like, this is an experience. What is it about the guitar that captivates you so much? Because like, we listen to like Polyphia and like Ichika and like all these different John. People. Yeah, like all these like very alternative and like very like, you know, what's the word you would describe like that kind of genre, like the plucking and like, is it like?
I don't know how I would describe it. Really, it's.
Like finger style,
yeah, but
it's just a technical way. Of
yeah, it's just like this alternative, like, you know, very melodic way of of it's doing like, things.
I don't know how to explain it, like riff based music almost. Like
what is it? What is it about that and guitar that and the incorporation of guitar that really gets you and wants you to mimic that kind of style?
I think it's the fullness of some of these guitars, like Yvette Young. She sounds really full. Like when she plays, she could play just the guitar and it'll sound like an entire composition.
Mm. Yeah.
But then there's guys like Tim Henson and, you know, the Ichikas, they're just virtuosos, like making sounds and doing things that no one has, I won't say no one, but not many others have done.
Yeah, Ichika's pretty revolutionary in his own right.
So it's like, I don't know, that just inspires me to try to pick it up and make my own sound because, I mean, these people are developing new techniques and they're doing new things that people have never done. So, I mean, there's still much more to do and learn with the guitar. Like, it's all about how far you want to take it, I guess.
Bonus question. How offended are you by that guitar over there?
It's left.
It's a lefty 7-string.
7 out of 10.
That's not bad, actually.
Some of my teachers and some of my friends have been like, Mike, buddy, you haven't even learned regular guitar. Why are you wanting to get like a 9-string whatever? And I'm like, because then I can do cool djents with it. Like,
listen, I wanted a 7-string before I wanted a 6-string too, so I get it.
It's just one more. Why more is better?
I mean, you can tune it lower than you can. I mean.
Yeah,
like,
right?
Instead of tuning, you know, the low E, you can just have that extra string there.
Yeah, I mean, I have a 5-string bass too, and I was like, I was trying to figure out which one to get. My teacher's like, dude, get the 5-string, right? Because then it's just, you got it. I was like, yeah.
All that right. That explanation is just like, wow.
Like, sure. Why? All right. I like a low B.
That was
like,
Barry?
Barry.
Barry.
Not shout like that because he speaks better than that. But like, same vein.
Oh my God. I love Barry. That's great. That's fucking awesome, man. And I know like me and you talk about this a lot, how like we pick up the guitar and we'll play for a little bit, and then we realize how bad we are, and we put it down, you know, and whatever the case may be. Like, how, what is your mentality on overcoming that pitfall and like sticking with it for people, like for people who put down the guitar afterwards and then don't pick it up again? Like, what is your advice to them when you experience that?
Honestly,
that kind of pitfall.
One thing I've learned last couple of years of my life: you can't be afraid to be a beginner. You can't be afraid to like. Fail. You just can't be afraid to look like you suck.
It's like leave your ego at home type thing, right?
You're learning something completely new. You have like no dexterity whatsoever. Like there's guys who've been playing for 10 years and you're looking at them expecting to be just as good as them after an afternoon of playing, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
right?
Just like you got to be okay with sounding like crap for a long time and just be okay with those small wins that you get. You know, those little pick, like if you are practicing a song at like 90 BPM and then you bump it up 10, like that's something to be proud of. Like you're making headway, maybe slow, but.
I think it's a hard thing, like especially us musicians sort of thing, of like,
Because we know what it's supposed to sound like. We know mm-hmm. how it's supposed to go. And it's like extra frustration when it doesn't come out the way. Because like,
yeah.
I know what the I problem want. Is. Like,
yeah, it's like
I
we
just can't do it.
Yeah. I think it's really just about like stop focusing so hard. Like as humans, especially in this day and age, like we just like this instant gratification thing is really ruining us in that way. Mm-hmm. It's ruined. It's because it's just bad for your mental health, man. Like more than anything, like whether you, you know, you it's as a spoiled mentality or whether you think it's a vice or whatever, right? It's just bad for the mental health. Like you have to understand, like Kevin said, like put your ego at home, leave it at home and just enjoy the journey. Just take the ride. You know what I mean?
Too many people get caught up in at the end. Like there's a whole ton of steps right in between those. And
yeah, like set your goals small.
Yeah, be like, realistic.
You know,
with
be realistic. You know what I mean? Don't expect like greatness like right away. Like greatness is earned. You know?
Yeah, it's it's perfectionism.
Also, know where your skills are at. Don't try if you're learning bass. Don't try to play the riff from Roundabout. Right? Learn something like some Metallica, because then it's just a do.
Yeah, simple bass.
Simple bass.
Yeah,
right?
Like if you're practicing something extremely complex and you're a beginner, like you're gonna eventually and inevitably develop bad habits, right?
Right.
And then it's gonna be harder to break those habits once they become habits. You know, how many times can I say habits?
Habitual.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things where it's easier and better to create good and healthy and strategic habits rather than, you know, stress and like, you know, push yourself to the brink and like barely making like this night, you know, this riff or whatever, or just in any instrument in general. Just take your time. It's all about the journey and, you know, pick yourself up, keep your head high on that. Yeah. Appreciate that, Kevin. That was great.
Stay
and again,
strong, guys. Stay strong, strugglers.
Strong. You know?
Did you... I like this. He understands.
Oh, yeah. I mean, me and Kay have been friends for a very long time, so he understands.
Like 10 years now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Long time.
I wanted to talk about that a little bit. Not so much like the history, because we can say that for another time perhaps, but like maybe like, because I've known you obviously a long time, like we've been saying, and I've seen like a lot of growth, you know, a lot of maturity, like because obviously you're a little younger than us, and you know, and it's just nice. It's great to see that, like, you know, from one place that maybe wasn't like so positive to a way better, you know, area of mentality and just, you know, habitual activity, you know. So what is your thoughts on the growth and how you got there, and are you satisfied? Like, not so, obviously there's always room to grow, but are you satisfied? Are you happy with the progression that you're making? That's just like a person.
Yeah. Thanks for noticing that.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I pride myself on being able to grow as a person at every step of my life. Like, I think no matter where you are, there's stuff to learn. You can't ever think that you're complete as a person or perfect or whatever. But, yeah. What was the question again? Something about growth?
Yeah, it's more like from, if you can think about yourself, like, because we met in high school, so like if you could think about...
Yeah, I mean, I was a completely different person then.
Yeah, like if you can reflect on that versus now, like what is your thoughts on that, I guess you can say.
I had to hit a couple rock bottoms to get here, but, you know, I think I learned a lot of life lessons in that time frame. Like I went through a lot of things in my personal life that kind of forced me to mature and think differently, because like at the time you're not aware, you're a kid and you're you're dicking around or whatever, but there's just like a lot of life experiences. And then I mean, I've always been friends with you guys who were 2 years older than me, so I always had an older friend group, so I had to kind of acclimate to that environment anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I attribute some of that to you guys, really, to, you know, the friend group, because I mean, if I was hanging out with my peers, it would have been a probably different person here. I think I probably wouldn't be the same guy, but so thanks again.
Oh yeah. I mean obviously, like, you know, from high school to now, like we're adults now, like obviously there's going to be a change, right? But I think like you can change negatively, you know, and you can, and then there's also a lot of people that do remain the same, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That I find. So
I feel like that's probably the more common one.
Yeah, is that people kinda
don't change; they just stay the same.
It's surprising to me. Like, it's not like anyone in specific that comes to mind, but like I've definitely seen people, like not even just from high school, but just like the past, and I'm like, wow, like there is not anything,
yeah, like nothing changed.
Nothing
right?
is different.
I get that. You see it all the time.
Freaking out. Trying to get out.
I cashed in the struggle.
He was really going at it this time, though. He was really trying to get out of here. Sorry, are we boring you?
Nobody. I'm always afraid because I have like a door right next to me that leads to the outside, and he goes out on his little deck and plays. But sometimes he brings in mice.
Oh, like live mice? Oh, yeah. Nice.
And I've been lucky the last few times because I hear him chasing it, and I block the door. I'm like, you don't get to come in until you let that go.
He just wants to bring you a present.
No, because I have to take care of it, and it's not fun. But like, I'm always afraid. Like in the middle of the podcast, we're gonna get the mouse, and it's gonna be like, oh boy, here we go.
Now that you said that, it'll happen one day.
I know it's not
Murphy's Law, dude.
It's not if it'll happen; it's a win.
Yeah, Murphy's.
Ugh.
Wow, the Tangent City.
I know.
I'm thinking I'm probably gonna have to split this podcast into two. Honestly,
you think so?
I think it's gonna be a game section and then a kind of like a discussion.
All right, then section. Let's just keep it rolling.
Yeah.
Then.
I was gonna bounce off of that. I'm like, sure. We've also had not just people from like high school, but even like when we were in college. Like we had people who, looking at them now, have like they didn't learn the lesson. Like how to adult, like
yeah,
or just like or they just for like I guess in our musician's sake, like they just keep trying to like dick ride other artists.
And oh, I know.
I know. He's thinking of a specific person right now.
I know. I pushed in that direction. No,
I know exactly what he's referring to.
Yeah, and it's like I don't know. At some point, I mean. There's mature choices of like sometimes listen, maybe it's just not for you. Maybe the music field was just not meant to be your thing.
I think like some people, it's beautiful to dream, but reality still is a thing. So it's like you have to, it's all about like life is really all about balance and like you
and
have
compromise. And, man.
And like some people will be like, yo, I don't care what they say, I'm going to make it. And that mentality takes them all the way, you know? But I don't know, man.
That's a one in a million.
It's
though.
Like, yeah, you can't take Kanye and be like, I'm gonna be like that, because like you can strive for that, but like if you're like you know in your 30s, like or like late 30s, or getting you know,
yeah,
or you know,
it's over, time's gone, like.
Or like you know, it's just like you know, no moves have been, you know, I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's like you gotta like at some point you gotta like look in the mirror and be like, I don't know, but
I mean, it's like. I want to say there's an age limit.
There's not an age limit to success, per se.
Maybe to that mentality.
Yeah, maybe just to that mentality. Like, you need to, like, you know, realize that there are other avenues and other ways, you know? Like, I'm not saying give up on your dreams. Like, never would I say that, but...
Yeah.
It's just, like, one of those things where you have to, like, adjust, you know?
Ask the question, is your career choice a career choice or is it a hobby? Right,
I feel, something, yeah, maybe that know. Distinction got mixed up with people you guys know, yeah. Probably.
Oh, well, definitely it has.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no shame in that, too.
I think it's just like there's a lot of ego, ultra ego, no,
super ego,
mega.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. I think there's a lot of ego, in my history, like when I think back at like growth and like the time, like I do think like trauma or like and can break you, but it can make you. And it's like, you know, and it's like one of those things where it can, it gives you empathy and like compassion, and it makes you see the world differently, you know? And, mm-hmm. and sometimes seeing the world differently can really like shatter your world in some ways. And it's whether you picked up the pieces and make a new puzzle out of it, or you just leave them there. That kind of makes you, I think. And I think, just trying to constantly improve yourself and leaving, just killing that ego and just like really just like putting like there's a difference between ego and confidence also. Like confidence is like, you know, it's okay to be proud of yourself, but at the same time, you don't want to be, you know, full of yourself.
Yeah, which is two different things.
Like, full of it. If you can walk the walk, you know, like, then sure, you can
Like
be a little confident.
If you have the resume to back up that confidence, then, you know, that's something
different. But, like, also have a piece of the humble pie.
Yeah.
Right?
I think everyone in life should have a piece of the humble pie at one point.
I also just got kind of reminded, because we were talking about music stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you listen to Drake?
Do not. However, new album, hilarious.
Jake showed me.
Because it's so bad.
Hilarious. Oh, my God. Like, talk about lazy.
I thought it was a joke. Like,
That kind of shit makes me mad, because it's like Drake's ego is like, I can just hop in the studio, I can just like half.
I can steal some beats from Splice.
I can literally just like rehash some old beats and like just change them up a little bit, and then like go in there and be like, passion is the underway. Passion is the things you say, baby. Yeah, yeah. Oh, Drake, that was great. We got it. Oh, you got it? All right, cool. Let's move on to the next song. Passion is a light away. Hey, what you say?
I don't know, man. I don't even know what he was going for.
It's just like,
album. It's
well,
just...
I think it was just, I
need money.
Probably.
I heard Drake. No, I was watching the Tiny Meat Game podcast today with Cody Ko, and they were talking about Drake, and they said that he has a sponsorship from this, like, I think it's Omaha Steaks, which I actually really like. I love Omaha Steaks.
What?
It's like this, you can buy, like, this, again, it's not sponsored. It should be, but this is like,
oh my
sponsor. This is like, it's like, so you can buy, like, personalized red meat and, like, different, like, different types of meat and stuff, and they ship it to you. It's, like, all fresh and organic. It's really good, right? Whatever. But I think that's who it is, but it could be another steak company that's similar. And, he makes $8 million, like, a month.
Steak?
Just from the steak ads. Just from advertising on like his
He didn't need money.
No, just from advertising on his IG. He bets like $10 million. Like, he just won like $17 million on like roulette or something. He's always gambling. You don't always gamble if you need the money.
He definitely gambled with that album.
I saw some tweet and it was really funny. It was like Kanye said he wanted to make a house album and Drake just jumped on it first.
My favorite thing though is because we were going through the playlist of the album, and there's like, there's always this one guy who just like, who's like always like, oh my God, Drake, he is so, this album's a banger. You know, Drake did it again. And I'm like, are you sure?
I swear Drake never misses.
You need that John Cena. Are you sure about that? Jesus
Christ. It's so funny.
It's every, like, we were looking at it. It was like every, the same guy, like every track, like, yo, Drake just came in with the heat. Next song. Yo, I swear, can Drake make a bad album? It's just like fire emoji.
2022, the Drake year.
Bless up.
Oh my God.
Dude, can they ride him any harder?
Dude, we were watching Anthony Fantano, you and me, about the album. It's so funny. Yeah. Like, we were watching it, and he was just like roasting the shit out of it.
Tearing it to pieces.
It was
great. One song he was like
yeah, this song's kind of a banger, and it was like Sticky or something, right?
Sticky.
It's like the most cringe TikTok song. Like, ugh, it's a TikTok song for the album. That's what it is.
And
Drake has this thing now where every album has a song that, you know, is specifically designed for TikTok. Like,
I mean, that's not a bad marketing strategy.
You're 35, Drake. It's time.
Yeah, but TikTok, though.
You have a beard. It's like, it's enough. It's enough. It's like, you're Drake. You don't need to be on TikTok. Oh, God. All right, never mind. You know, whatever.
Trying to get at those Millie Bobby Browns, man.
Apparently yeah. YouTube, please.
Not YouTube, Acast. I'm sorry.
They were like, do you have explicit, pornographic, or hateful content? And we're like, no.
Of course.
Lies.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
It's just so bad, because, like, what, a couple months ago you had Kendrick drop Mr. Morale and Steppers, and you're like, what?
And people were like, this album isn't even good. And I'm like, my God. It's just something you don't want to listen to. Like, it doesn't mean it's not good, though. It's like, it's just like very substantive and very dark and very deep. And it's like, has a lot of topics that are uncomfortable and, you know, don't want to be discussed. And that's why you're like, oh, this album sucks. It's not, there's not a banger. There's not a trap out. Yeah, there's not a trap song.
There's no club tracks.
But first of all, that song with fucking Kodak is, what's it called? Silent Hill.
Oh yeah. That song
is fire. Yeah. Hey. That song is awesome. Hey.
I'm so torn about this song. Cause like, it's, you know, it's fine, but like, it's called Silent Hill. I'm like,
yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what the deal is with that either. I don't know. We're not big brain enough to figure out the connection. Yeah.
Is like Hiro Yokoyama on this track somewhere? Like,
he's the one who's going.
it's Pyramid Head in the back. But like, I don't know. It's just, or even like you're showing me Tame Impala stuff, and I'm like, wow, that's a great artist. Like,
Tame Impala is great,
and it's just sometimes just so baffling. Like you have these people in the same field and you're like, who are you? Like Drake, what are you doing? Like
old Drake was great. Like
he was hungry though.
Yeah. But it's always that like stereotypical thing, right? It's like, oh, bring back the old you, like for every artist. But like with Drake, it's legit. Like, and you know, Drake's fans are enablers because they're constantly like bringing up these mediocre albums and being like, oh my God, old Drake is back. Oh God, Drake's really killing the games. And it's just like, fuck you.
I like it when the thing loops for 3 minutes without change.
The songs on this newest album, oh my God, they're like 5 minutes long of just like, we skipped through
5 minutes. They're way longer than that.
And it's like literally like me and Michael were skipping through it and like we went from like 30 seconds to like 2 minutes and 10 seconds changed. And the melody was like at the same spot. And we're like, yo, what the fuck? Like,
skip ahead is the same.
Like the instrumental same track. Shit. The instrumental track. I know it's like a hip hop, so like it repeats
like
a lot.
It's like house club music.
Yeah, but like there's no variation.
But you know the drunk people are gonna love it. Yeah,
that's for like rave clubs.
You know the drunk people are gonna love it, man.
But no.
Yes,
but
man.
No.
Yes, man.
The people
that's
who
he
rolling,
made it for. That's who he
that.
Made it
Bring
for.
Bring me bingo players. Bring that back.
No, that's who he made it for. He made it for the people like, oh my God, yes, I'm sticky.
What?
What? Because that's the name of the song. I'm just like.
thank you.
Oh no!
I'm gonna exit now.
God,
this has been great.
That's we're getting no ads now. We submit it, and like some guy's gonna call peer review and it's like, oh, let me.
The rock eyebrow.
Yeah.
No, that's why we're making this two separate podcasts.
Yeah. So okay. They'll learn their mistake eventually.
Oh my God, the cursed energy. Anyway. Friendships. what is a friend to you? Okay,
we're getting really philosophical here.
Yeah, it'd be nice. It's fun conversations that we have, just like casually, you know.
Are we your friends?
Speak very
carefully.
I
don't know. That's a strange question. It depends.
Because like
just the.
Think about because I know, like, obviously, like, we've known each other for so long, like, you know, think about like friends that have come and gone. Like, what's the difference? You know, like, you know what I mean? So like,
I see what you're getting at. Yeah. I don't know. I guess like real friends in the sense are friends in general, but are like, they're always there, I guess. I really don't know.
Are they always really there?
Yeah.
He said, yeah. Yeah.
More or less. Like at least I've had like friends like Jacob, that I can always count on. Like, that's how I know he's a real friend.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas like there's other people who are like disappear, or I'll hit them up and no response, and then they'll try to rekindle it later, and I'm just like, dude, nah. You know what I mean?
It's also like one of those things where like, oh, we should hang out sometime. Oh yeah, let's do that.
You see, I don't like that, because it's like leaving it up to like hearsay. It's just like, dude, just make the plan right now. If you really wanted to hang out, we would have done it.
I also don't like it sometimes, because it's like, bro, you know it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, it's
like,
just for face.
When are we gonna hang, man? Like, we should hang out soon. I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah, those aren't your friends.
It's
your
just
friends
like,
are like, I'm gonna
if
pick
I
you
had
up,
that
go
reaction when I hear that, that's not a friend of mine. Yeah. And like, not like, at least not like a close friend, you know what I mean? Or whatever. Yeah.
Or sometimes you like, maybe you haven't talked to them in months, and they like call you, and it's like, were you at Starbucks? I'm like, no.
Oh, digs. You didn't call me to ask about my day. Was I at Starbucks?
Yeah, but like
I know what you mean. I know what you
it's
mean.
Weird because like you don't I feel like no one ever wants to get to that point of like we're not I don't think we're friends anymore. I we're just like acquaintances at best. Saying, yeah. And it's like it sucks to reach that point, but like sometimes it happens, you're like damn it.
Yeah, it's like one of those things. I mean, I think like at least like for us, like I feel like that friendship ain't going anywhere. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's like that line between acquaintance and friends, I guess.
I guess like I don't know, like I have brothers in a way, you know what I mean? Especially like we know each other for like so long, when you know somebody for so long, and like I've always been like the type of like at least I try to be the type of friend that like that's like really like he says like I'm if there's a problem like I'm down, like I'll help in any way.
Yeah, man,
that
I flatlined earlier. I should have said friends or brothers, man. That would have been a crazy good.
That would have been like
I mean that's probably what I was thinking, because like I don't have that many friends, honestly. Like the friends that I do have, I do consider them family. So
yeah,
thanks for actually saying that, because you.
Jog that in.
Defibrillated.
You're
my
not just
brain.
Best of friends, though.
I mean, but it's true though, because like I'll go to his house and I'm like, "What's up, ma?" Like,
my mom's like, "Oh, okay.
Yeah." Like we, oh, like, yeah, like we look. I'm like, "Hey, mom," and whatever.
My
like,
uncle's
we,
there.
Yeah, but like, what's good, uncle, or whatever. Yeah, like it's just one of those things. Like we're always like, even like there's family members that like that I haven't even met in your family that know of my existence.
Oh, everyone knows.
You. Yeah, like yeah. I was like, I'm like, holy shit! I'm like, this like, yeah. It's like one of those things.
I mean, you were kind of like that here. I think when.
Oh, like when, yeah, when, dude, when your mom, like,
yeah, that's true.
When your mom was around, like, she was, like, so sweet, and, like, it was, like, I was here every week, you know, so it was, like, really nice, and, like, it was hard, like, even, like, when she inevitably passed, like, it was even hard for me, like, I cried, because it was, like, I was here all the time, and, like, I, like, used to see the decline, and it's, like, it was, like, so sad and everything, but it did feel like she was always, like, I always felt really welcome, like, we had dinners together and stuff, like, so that's the type of thing, like, those are friends, that's family, like, I think family and friendships are very similar. Like, it's a very fine line between the
two.
Yeah,
yeah. Same with my grandfather's funeral.
Yeah.
When my aunt went up there to give the speech, you know, she
mentioned us.
She mentioned,
like, yeah,
she
like,
mentioned you, which and was like, my other friend. Like, you guys are his grandchildren as well. Like, that's friendship. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, it transcends just the... Yeah. It's like a blood tie.
That's how I always look at it. Like, I don't have a lot of friends, but, like, if you're a friend, like, you know, you're in...
I think it's sometimes better though. Like, I feel like if you have like a close like handful of friends who are like are your bros and stuff, like,
oh dude, it's hard to juggle multiple friends.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know,
well, I mean, it's like sometimes like out of high school or outside of college or whatever, like you meet all these people you're always in contact with, and then suddenly when you're not in contact anymore, it's like, well, who stuck around? Who's the person you're gonna still be talking to?
That's the type of thing, you know what I mean? Like, that's also like, it's like interesting with school and everything, because like it could be deceiving, like, because you see them all the time and you're always talking.
Those,
and
you
stuff.
Know what I call those? Those are convenience friendships, friendships that only are there because it's convenient.
Like it, but I don't think he.
I mean, you're right, but like, oof, that's a.
And it's a hard pill to swallow, and it sounds bad,
true,
but
though.
I'm so like for people who are sensitive, I'm gonna try to interpret what that means, just like a little bit. I feel like what, and correct me if I'm wrong, but what you're trying to say is like, if you're in school, right, you're in a social situation where you have to be like cordial, right? So you make like friends to pass time because you hate school, everyone does. So you're like hanging out with friends, you're talking to people, you're interacting socially, you know, and you're doing all these
humans are social creatures.
Yeah, like so you're doing all the things that socially you would expected of you, and like you know, you're talking all the time, it's natural to build like some form of bonds, but like outside of that like construct, like the friendship isn't required or necessary necessarily. Mm. So it's maybe not as genuine as like a true, like, you know, happenstance friendship building situation. You know what I mean? If that makes sense.
Yeah, more or less.
I think that's what you're meaning by that in general. Like, is convenient because it's something that, like, you know, would be beneficial to everyone in party.
I mean, they're just there. You're seeing each other
every
day.
Like, that's the thing.
It's easy to be friends. It's very convenient to be friends. Like,
but
friendship is actually challenging.
That's what I'm saying. You put three dudes in a box. You know what I mean?
They're bound to be.
They're gonna be friends by the end of
because
it. You know, they'll be cool.
Or they're gonna kill each other.
Yeah, that's true too. I guess it depends, right?
So I'm looking at this next bullet point.
Oh, the Earth Defense Force.
I'm wondering, because I'm first of all surprised that anyone else knows what Earth Defense Force is, because it is such a weird ass game.
Yeah, you know that's a real game, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, the only time I've seen it was from the YouTube channel Super Best Friends Play. Like, that's the only time anyone's ever.
Do you think we should tell the story?
That game is niche. Nah, probably
not.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
say that for another time.
We'll say that for another time. Oh. But
the origins of
the yeah. So like, I put it up just in case. But as like we have this like this funny like thing that is in our like friends and group and everything that we are the Earth Defense Force, which is like a multiversal unit that saves people. Oh. But there's a reason why. It's not just some nerdy thing that we made. Like there's a reason why. It's
definitely just some nerdy thing we made.
Yeah, but
however, there is some lore.
But there's some lore.
All right, definitely. Well, when I guess we have to raise your confidant link first before we get to
it's
that
a
backstory.
Level five, at it's least. A level yeah, five. All right. Yeah.
All right, but
well, that's considering that's going to be on the internet. you know what I mean?
It's a level five. I was just weirded out. I was looking. I was like, "It's an okay game. You shoot bugs.
You're thinking
okay.
The actual game.
Yeah, there's a backstory and
all right. Anyway,
but that's another day. But I think like this has been a really fruitful podcast.
It's been interesting.
It's been long, and it's now we got like some fun games and stuff, and now we're getting to in some insightful things. And I want to tee it off with just this one last thing. What are your goals in life, and what does an accomplishment or success mean in your perspective? Because it can mean multitudes of things to multitudes of different people.
This is like a stacked question. First question I'm going to answer with, my only goal in life is to be the best version of myself. I don't care about anything else. But what the other question I think you're asking is like, what do I consider like an achievement basically? Or
well, yeah, like I mean, like I guess achievements and success are two different things, but coincide, right? Like achievements
is like what would I consider?
A singular act or something, while a success is like a continuous like, you know, status, I guess you can say.
I don't know, actually.
Or can be, rather.
I don't really know how to answer that question.
I guess like, do you find pride and the dopamine kick, I guess, when you're graduating school or when like you just made like your Picasso piece, you know what I mean? Like what range of like, are you making like boatloads of money and that's like bringing you that like,
it's like,
you
know, what's that, my ideal?
Yeah. Like what's your ideal version of that in a perfect world? Like what you would want and like, what does that mean?
I see what you're saying.
I know it's like loaded. I know it's like hard.
Super loaded.
I think it's like really interesting, and I like, you know, just because people's perspectives are so different.
Yeah, it varies from person to person. So every person is going to give you a different answer.
I feel like we kind of ask everybody that to some extent. Like Eric's, like, what is your goal? Like, what are you doing right now? Like, how do you feel about your situation?
Yeah, we just haven't. I think the ghosts and Nick, we haven't really talked about.
Well, because it's hard with the ghosts, because the ghosts are so aloof on purpose, you know.
Yeah.
So we can't really dive deep into that.
Hard to get into the ghosts.
Motherfuckers, yeah. Like, reveal your true selves eventually.
Speak your name.
They're gonna eventually. The ghosts will be revealed as to who they were in their lives, and you know, when that time comes, it'll be a sweet moment.
Yeah.
The build up. But yeah, to go back to that, if you like, you know, just.
Well, I don't know. I guess, like, my ideal of success, this is the way I'm going to answer the question. Like, my idea of success is just when I set a goal for myself and I actualize it, that brings me the greatest, like, feeling of success, I guess.
That's healthy.
You know what I mean? Like, actually being able to be like, I'm going to do this and this, and then I go ahead and I do that and that. That's...
Yeah,
you know, that whatever they may be menial tasks or small things, but like even that is just, you gotta, like I said before with the guitar, you know, it's a journey. You gotta be with those small things. All the small things add up. So,
yeah, I mean, I agree. I think there's a lot of positive reinforcement in positive reinforcement. Like, I was watching this video one time about like. Habits, right? And how we get ourselves into like this negative like zone. And it's like, you would think like not making your bed, right? It's like, oh, I don't want to make my bed right now. And it's like, oh, that's a negative habit, right? And then you build on, oh, I shouldn't eat this pizza because I'm working out, I'm trying to get healthy, but I'm gonna eat like three slices. And then like, oh, now, oh, I made a mess, but I'm not gonna clean it up.
Yeah, they add up.
You know what I mean? And now you're just in this vicious cycle, right?
But the inverse is true, you know, with the positive things.
Exactly.
As well.
So like, you create like a tiny achievement and that you're proud of, and then you build upon that, and it just creates this cycle. And it's like, how do you break a negative cycle by doing a positive action? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's my
thing right now. I've been dealing with that a lot, and it's like trying to, because it's like a spiral, right? Of like,
it really is.
Because then sometimes you miss days, or like you didn't do that thing that one day, and then you feel guilty, and then like it keeps, like you feel bad, and it kind of just like snowballs.
Yeah, the guilt kicks you, and right. then you're like, oh, I can't do that.
Yeah, and then you do something that you want to alleviate the guilt, but that's also not good. And it's yeah, like,
but it's like it really is just a circle, man. Like, cause like you don't do something, right? Because you're lazy and you're demotivated, and in some fashion you're lazy because you're demotivated and depressed,
yeah.
or whatever your problem is, right? And then you feel bad about not doing that thing, which adds upon the lack of motivation, which then increases you not doing that thing, and it's just like. It's like, you know what I mean? I akin to it to like getting out of bed, like in the morning. Like, it's like the hardest act, like, you know, ever. When you're tired in the morning, it's like a cold room. Picture like your room is icy, right? You got like one blanket, you're bricked out. You're like, you know, and you're like, oh, I gotta get up. It's like 6 a.m. I gotta go to fucking work. I don't wanna do that shit. But you get up, right? And it's like the hardest task ever. But then you're like, oh, I'm up.
You know, I actually find that I have good days when I start my day like that. When I get up and I actually am like, oh, well, I'm going to start my day. You know what I mean?
It's like because you're fighting that. That was like a fly. Do you hear that? Yeah.
Weird mouth noise there, bro.
It's just funny. Anyway, you're fighting that negative action, and that's starting a positive chain, pretty much. Which I try to akin to it. Like when I don't want to. There's day I'm drawing a lot for this contest, which I'll talk about more in another podcast, but it's not the time. And some days I'm like, I've been drawing, I love painting and I love doing different things. And I've been consistently since May only doing this,
going hard.
You know, strictly doing this. And like, there are days where I'm just like, bro, but I want to paint some girl, or I want to go do some landscape.
I don't
want to
figure out this perspective.
I don't want to do this today. I just want to go play Arkham Knight, you know, or whatever. And I'm like, no, I got to sit down and do it. And I just force myself. It's like getting out of bed.
I just sit
down and I just force myself to do it. Whether it's for 20 minutes or 3 hours, I did something. You know what I mean?
And it sucks because like I'm in the same vein, and like I have like a schedule book thing that I've gotten the habit of doing, just to, like mark out this has to be done this day and everything like that. But like I have the problem of my sleep schedule is so fucked. Like today, this morning, I went to bed at 5, you know,
in the morning.
Oh,
sheesh. And got up at 9. And it's like
pain.
It's why I'm dead. Like,
man. I mean, dude, we're all like bad with sleep. And I think like being an audio engineer is like, it conditions you to be bad at sleep because like a lot of our work is at night.
Yeah.
And,
but, I mean, I don't know what, like recently it's been like, you're just in bed and you start thinking about stuff and it's like, man, I wonder what's gonna happen when you die. And you're like,
oh no.
I've already been through this once. I don't need to do this again. Like
honestly, like one thing that's really helped me out with that kind of stuff is that I don't stay in bed. That's like something I've learned.
Change
like,
of scenario or change
so
of
So like scenario. What I was watching this TED Talk about sleep, right? Mm-hmm. And it spooked me because they were saying how like your literal genetics change, your DNA changes based off of how much sleep you get. Like they were saying, people who got in a study, like multiple studies, they say people who got 6 hours of sleep versus people who got 8 hours of sleep saw an impact of the negative genes in your DNA that increases tumors and disease, and the people with 8 hours have increased like immune system and have a healthier body, like just in general off rip, you know. And like the cognitive abilities between, like they had a test about, they had someone who slept like for like, I don't know, not at all, right? And they tried to do a memory recitement where they listed off a bunch of things and they're like, all right, name it back to us, and they just could not, right? And then they did an eight hours person, and they had a way better cognitive like memory, and it's like it increases like chances of getting like dementia and like Alzheimer's.
Yeah, I was gonna ask
like
about
sleep
that.
Is extremely extremely important, and like I love sleep in like mornings, but I can't sleep at night, right? I've always had problems with that, and even the quality of my sleep is ass, you know, like I can get 8 hours and the quality is garbage. Right. So I've been trying to fix this. I've gotten a mouth guard cause I have sleep apnea. I've tried different things, but the insomnia, how do you fix that? Right. So in the same tech talk, in that same vein, they were saying how, like, if you stay in your bed and you're just active and wandering, your brain is going to associate your bed with activity. So if you're on your phone, if you're drawing on your bed, or if you're watching stuff on your bed and you're like tireless, you can't sleep, right? Like they say, get up, like do something, because then you're associating your brain like with something else. Like I don't draw my bed ever anymore. And I constantly used to do that. I don't even watch anything on my bed, honestly, anymore. I'll put something on when I'm tired and like I know I'm going to fall asleep. You know what I mean? I'll throw something on for noise. But that's it. I'm not watching it.
That's interesting.
And it's really helped me a lot. Like I started drawing in my sunroom initially, and now I'm drawing. I have a nice new desk now that has like it's a workstation desk that I've been like wanting, which is really nice.
Oh,
now.
Okay, nice.
So like it has like my speakers on one side. I have room, my keyboard. I have room for drawing and doing, because I wanted my work. Like a lot of problems with my activity lately is that I had to set up every time I wanted to do something, and it was just driving me nuts. You know,
it wasn't convenient.
I'm already having a problem with demotivation. Like, I have to wire.
That's not gonna help. I have to start the wires
and everything too. Nah. You know, so I said, "Fuck it." Like, I rearranged my whole room, changed everything up. So I do draw my room and do things in my room now, but I have a specific location for it. If I can't sleep, I get up, go to that location. I get up, I go outside. You know, even if it's 12 in the morning, I go outside, I just like look at the stars, I listen to some music, and when I start to feel myself getting drifty, I go back in my room and then I go to bed, you know? Like, get out, because then you're going to associate that area with just brain power, motion, movement, games, anything.
Some subconscious workings there.
Yeah, and that's really a thing. Like, and it's been helping me a lot. Like, I go to bed at 1 in the morning too, right? Perhaps. Like, but my quality of sleep has been better, and when I want to go to bed, I actually do, and that's what's important to me.
It's
like,
not like you have to force yourself,
whether it's 11 o'clock or 1 o'clock or whatever. When I want to sleep and I'm feeling tired, like I do go to bed and I knock out. It's not like I'm like struggling, even though I'm exhausted and I really would just like to sleep, but my mind will not let me. You know what I mean? It's one, and I struggled with that for years, and this is like finally something that's kind of working in that vein. So I think that's something to try.
Well, if it's working for you, then
I mean, I definitely
believe it, because I know your sleeping schedule is
garbage.
yeah.
So I love how we went from like goals in life to like sleep help. I'm sorry, I'm not a doctor. Also, I don't feel like I don't know the cure.
Well, this is why this is the imposter syndrome.
Yeah, right. No, you see my imposter syndrome like showing like right off the rip. Like,
I am a doctor.
No, like I don't. I mean, I just saw a TED talk, but I have insomnia and I try things, you know. So this is working for me. So
I mean,
that
definitely sounds like.
I figured I share the wealth. You know, that's really credible. All it is. Yeah,
because I tried like I was kind of trying to distract myself. And I like keep on like, and like sometimes I used to like listen to like podcasts or whatever when I go to bed, and I kind of like, it's almost like a lulling in your sleep, because like it's just noise in the background at some point. But even that has not been really working. And like I try reading when I went to bed, just because it gets like so tired.
Yeah,
but and yeah, maybe I'll try just getting up and see what happens.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think it really works. Like personally, I think there's just like, you're just going to sit there and do what, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're going to toss and turn and like have all these negative thoughts and emotions in your brain and like drive yourself nuts. And then you're just like, you only fall asleep because your body literally gives out. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? And that's just not the way to be.
Yeah.
But I love how we went from like goals in life to like sleep stuff. And like, it's been an interesting
tangent.
It's tangent, it's been an interesting podcast. I've enjoyed
tangents
it.
Tangents of the universe.
Unite. Any final thoughts, Michael? Anything you want to like share or ask or go through the motions of for today?
What the fuck?
Oh,
perfect time.
Yeah. Are you excited for D&D?
Ecstatic. I'm just excited to role play, have some fun, man. That's really all I want to do.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to, you know, kill you as the DM or anything, give you a hard time. Or I don't know about the other players, but
I know what's gonna happen.
I'm gonna try to keep a level head, you know. play to my character and, you know, have fun.
I think that, yeah, there's definitely a couple of you, including yourself, that have been taking it very seriously, and I'm, like, really happy with, like,
yeah,
the way you guys are doing things. And, you know, we've had talks about it and, like, what we're going to do as a team. And it's, like, it's fun. Like, we haven't talked about it a lot in the podcast. We've only been, like, kind of diving into it because, like, it wasn't real yet. It was just, like, a concept that we're slowly building.
Now it's, like, figures here.
Everyone has, like, everything. It's pretty much up to me and Michael right now. And we're just working on this, like, this one thing that we want to.
Yeah, I mean, we got to do some logistical work now.
As well.
Got to get some cameras, figure out how the fuck that's going
to
work.
It's like, because this is like, we want this to be like an actual, you know, production, you know, something that's has some quality to it. So we really do appreciate your patience. So, you know, we want to make sure, like the game developers, like, don't forget, we're still doing this. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, overall, here's a trailer.
It's because we care, remember?
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, yeah. That's one of those things where it's coming, and you know, I'm excited for it for sure. I think it's gonna be fucking hysterical.
Yeah,
I mean, it's gonna be an adventure.
Something.
It's gonna be something.
It's gonna be something.
It's gonna be an adventure.
It's gonna be either like, ooh, that was interesting, or I was like,
just picture
really, Michael. Really?
We're idiots, as I'm sure the audience knows, and just picture more of us. That's pretty much all.
Double
it is.
The amount of idiots.
Shadow clones.
Oh yeah, it's.
It's gonna be fun.
And like, shout outs to Michael, honestly, because he created the whole story himself. He's been DMing and being a real champion. And
I for someone who I literally did not get into D&D until you were like, let's do a D&D cast, and then I was just I got into it,
and
you
really
like
deep dove.
I
didn't even know that. I thought you were like previously.
No, that's why I'm so nervous about it. Yeah. I was like, this is literally I've never played a D&D game. I've only watched Critical Role and be like, that looks pretty neat. They look like they're having fun, and then like homebrewed it away because I'm like. But I want to add this reference character, and you know, I want to kind of copy this thing from this other thing I like. Can I do that?
Yeah, right. But honestly, like I'm proud of you, man. You did this whole thing. It's like, you know, we have like a whole storyline and.
Yeah,
and like,
it's got arcs.
There's arcs.
I can't wait to see.
Dude, there's arcs.
Man.
There's world building stuff. It's great. It's gonna be great. I'm really really excited for it, and to like just bring the guys on and just have like. Just have our friends, like, you know, they're like, Kevin's meeting you IRL for the first time, which is great. And you guys are getting along, which is great.
Yeah.
And I think like there's just more of this. It's just gonna be fun. It's gonna be great.
With more banter.
Yes, yes. Even
more banter.
Oh yes. Oh
and
yeah.
I'll be a robot next time.
A little
tease.
Oh
yeah, you are the Warforged.
Right? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
I already know.
Story details are gonna be fun.
Yes. So this is a little tease, everyone. That's another reason like we wanted to have him on one, because like again, it's great to have our friends on and to talk and have a different perspective, but also that it's a little teaser of what's to come.
Yeah,
you know,
I need someone to block the Hero Forge page for me because I keep on going on there, and I just like sometimes I just sometimes create characters for fun.
You need to have like a parental advisory like block on there.
You know what I did recently? You know, you know Sly Cooper, right?
Yeah, of course.
I created the Clockwork villain, giant owl.
In Hero Forge.
And I was kind of like, what if I just put it in the campaign? What if I just like had it like somewhere? Like,
why
if
not?
You just went down this path.
Dude, why not, dude? That's all I'm saying.
I'm more excited for the next Rogucaster because there's voice effects you can do on it.
Ooh,
yeah, like reverbs,
delays.
You can have, I think you told me that once.
Yeah,
like the voice pitch things. You can have like, robot voices.
We do that.
Easier for me.
Yeah, think. Yeah, yeah. Because we've been doing that stuff in post, but you know,
I have it on fly.
Yeah, on
it
fly.
Would be way easier that way.
Yeah. Yeah, we could really like, you know, schedule that to some extent and do things. So it's gonna be interesting, for sure. But I think that's a good place to end it for today.
Yep.
We've talked about a lot of great stuff. Thank you so much, Kay, for coming on.
My pleasure.
And
yeah,
talking to us. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. I love you.
But before we go, we have one final question.
Oh?
What's your opinion of Jujutsu Kaisen?
Mid.
Give out!
I was hoping that would trigger you. Nah, dude, that's one of my favorites right now.
Best of friend.
No!
That's the best.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, I'm Michael.
I'm Jake. Make sure you like, subscribe, leave a comment. It really helps us out a lot. 1 year of the Imposter Syndrome Woo! Podcast. Let's go. Woo! And hopefully many more. Thank you all. Have a great one. Peace.
Boogie boogie.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.